What is up, guys? Welcome to episode number 139 of Beef's Beef. I have a special guest for you guys today, but like always, before I get to intro and my special guest, I have to tell you about my friend Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Crystal Lackey is the one you want to get with if you have mortgages that you need taken care of, if you want to refinance, really any questions you have about getting a mortgage or financing a house, she's the person you want to talk to. To get in touch with Crystal, you want to call her at 502-615-0743. Again, it's Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage, 502-615-0743. Stockton Mortgage is an equal housing lender, MLS number 8259, Crystal Lackey MLS number 1735979. Now, today, I've teased some on Facebook, I've teased some on Twitter. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen me post who's going to be on here today. Some of you close to me know who's going to be on here today, and I'm pretty excited about it. So my next guest is an ESPN employee. They are a SportsCenter host, formerly on Baseball Tonight, formerly of a few different television channels, but you will most know her for being on daytime sports centers. She is actually on right now before we do our interview. So I'm very excited to introduce to you guys my next guest, Miss Antonita Collins. All right, guys. So with me now is Tony Collins. And Tony, I appreciate you taking out time for me to record my newest episode with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
So I just got done watching you on SportsCenter. It's funny. I know people always ask me how I get in contact with people. And this one, I literally just threw a random Instagram DM and you were like, yeah, sure, count me in. And I freaked out whenever you answered me back. And I don't know if you remember seeing that. I didn't know what to say because I didn't expect you to answer back.
Well, I just put myself in your shoes and I'm like, I've been in that end and like, I always get no's. So I was like, you know what? I try to put myself in your shoes, and that's happened to me. So I was like, it doesn't kill me to like talk to someone, right? So why
not? It's funny because I found out early on whenever I started doing this is like, if I ask somebody and they say no, I'm going to be in the exact same spot that I was in before. Okay, someone tells me no, that's fine. I'll just go on to the next person.
Good mentality to have.
Yeah, so you were born in Mexico City, outside of soccer, which you speak here, which we'll speak about here in a few minutes. Yeah. Like, what other sports did you grow up like paying attention to?
You know what? baseball, a lot of baseball. My mom's a big baseball fan. So we always went to the Marlins games back when they were at Joe Robbie Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. And that was what I remember. I played softball when I was in middle school and high school. And I loved baseball. Baseball and soccer were my passion.
So I read that you began playing soccer at age 10. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that you even were asked to join the U19 national team for Mexico.
Yeah, so I did. I was able to be with them two summers and train with the under-19 Mexican national team. That was awesome. It was awesome to. It's an indescribable feeling to wear. I mean, to wear your country's cup. Jersey colors, represent them, hear the national anthem. And while I didn't take it after the under-19, it was awesome doing it those two summers.
Was there a certain time when you finally felt like, you know, I'm actually pretty good at this?
When I got that call. Yeah. When I got the call to join, to go to Mexico and do that, I was like, oh, and I mean, in high school I was good, but I always thought I was good because we had a very poor division. So I was like, well, I'll take it. But then when they called, I was like, oh, damn, you're good.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was that feeling like when you got that call and they were just like, hey, we'd like you to join our team?
It's indescribable because I think it was a lot of it felt good to see the reaction from my father and my mother. That was, I think, the best part. Not even for me. It was to see their reactions and see how proud they were.
Yeah. Absolutely. So growing up watching your mother, who is a very, very accomplished woman, it was crazy reading all the stuff that she's done. She won Emmy Awards, writing best-selling books.
She's got a radio show. She writes columns for newspapers. I
mean, how often does it get overwhelming, people talking about your mom in interviews too, by the way?
You know what? I'm used to it. I grew up around it. And at first, it was when I started in this career, it was, you know, you'd get a lot of people like, oh, you're here because of your mom, this and that. After I got that insecurity and that obstacle of mine in my own head, you know, you appreciate and you, I really admire, I mean, I always appreciate it, but I really appreciate now that I know what she had to go through while having my kids and you know, a family, like, I admire it so much, and she deserves all the praise, and I'm so, so proud of her. So now I'm like, ah, you're good.
So, like, growing up watching her, was that like, oh, that's the career I want to do, or did you have something else in mind?
Yeah. No, I always wanted to be a journalist. You know, she was very passionate, until this day is so passionate about storytelling. She taught me how much of a responsibility it is to be a broadcaster, not just to be on TV or to look pretty or whatever. It was to tell a story, to get a message across, and you have that responsibility to tell someone's story. And I know it doesn't sound as big, but when you're in the nitty gritty of it, it is, because you have the power to sway a story, to tell a story, and to reach audiences that never in your life you're ever going to meet, but that is your work. So that's why I loved it. Since I would see it from her and I would love it.
Well, see, that kind of goes into what you were saying to me before we started here. You said you did so much research. I mean, I'm not even worth it. I mean, I honestly could have the power to sway something the way I wanted to, but I wanted to dive deep into it so that I could actually get to know you as a person. Because I can see you all day on TV, but I don't know. I'm the type of person that always wants to know, like, what type of person is that? Are they off the screen?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a nerd. I'm a loser. I should talk better of myself. Oh, my God. See, I'm trying to work on that. I really don't do anything. I love learning. You know, I've done a couple of these podcasts and people are like, oh, you made it. I'm like, yeah, but just because you're here doesn't mean you're going to here to stay, you know? So every day I try to learn. English is my second language and I make mistakes all the time with English. So trying to read more, I'm two different people. I hate to say this, when I speak English and when I speak Spanish. In Spanish, I can maneuver myself way better than English. So then you put on national TV in English and you can. So it's a little bit harder. So I try to hone that, you know, and I'm a homebody. Gosh, I love to watch sports, even if I don't play them, even if I'm not a fan of them, just to honestly learn them. Cause then that gives me the confidence when I step on that stage.
Absolutely. So at what age did you guys move to Miami?
Well, actually, I moved to San Antonio first. I was nine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you moving from, you know, Mexico City and to the United States, what were the biggest differences between living in Mexico and the United States?
No one spoke my language. Because, I mean, if I'm going to update myself, but when I got there, I came across the generation that, yes, the Gonzalez, Lopez, but they didn't speak Spanish. So I literally had no friends, no nothing. Like the language was hard. I couldn't communicate. So I did the immersion program. So they just threw me in a classroom and I'm like, okay. The only one that did speak Spanish was a teacher, thank God. But Ms. Martinez, may she rest in peace. But yeah, it was the language for me was the hardest. And obviously you're nine and you have your friends and you're starting over and kids could be mean. And I was bullied. Yeah. I was little, but you know what? That's what you learn from. And then I moved to Miami. In Miami, everyone speaks Spanish, so it was fine.
So what? Explain what the immersion program is. That like where you were just saying, where they just put you in a classroom and just kind of
like, yeah, you're not in a classroom or in a program where they teach you in Spanish and you're learning English. No, they just they put me in there and it was a different language. I was like, what? Like I remember, it took me about a year. And I remember like that moment when I'm like, oh my God, I'm speaking English. And I was in the playground and they talked to me, these girls talked to me and I responded and I was like, I remember it till this day where I'm like, oh my God, I just spoke and it happened.
So I was reading in the summer of your senior year of high school, when you went to high school in Miami, you went to go visit your sister who had just moved to Ohio, right?
Yeah, she moved to Canton, Ohio. She worked at the time for General Electric, which they have a headquarters in Canton, Ohio. And I visited her. And I was supposed to go to Florida State. I think I know where you're going with this one. She's like, you should check out this college, Mount Union. Yeah. And I loved it. I was so corny. I had never seen anything of it. And people were so nice. That was that sold me.
That was what stuck out the most, is how nice people were?
Well, I've never seen anything like it. Like Miami, have you ever been to Miami?
I haven't. I have not.
It's a world of its own. I swear to you, it could be its own country. So I was very ignorant in that. Even though I've traveled and stuff and I've... I was very ignorant when I saw it. It was like this old, like, it just, it felt like I was in a movie. And then people, and then I met the soccer coach. He was awesome, Scott Langone at the time, Langone. And then I met the team, and they were like, yeah, they thought I was like the nice, like, it was just, it was love at first sight. I swear to you, it's so corny.
And plus that was probably your first really like experience of winter too, when you moved.
Yeah, I've never seen snow. I had never experienced being the only Hispanic. I was weird. I was like odd, but it was odd in a good way. That's the first time I realized, I know it sounds crazy, just I was different, because they're like, oh, what are you? I'm like, what do you mean, what am I? Like, it sounds, but it wasn't, now it'd be like, oh my gosh. But like back then it wasn't really malicious. Like, no, I loved Ohio. It was just like, what are you? I'm like, I'm me, but like that guy, it was interesting. It was new for me and new for them.
So what did you major in when you went there?
So I majored in mass communications and a minored in sports management, because there wasn't really sports journalism. So mass communications and sports management.
So you just mentioned, so you played on the soccer team as well?
Yeah, there, yeah.
How difficult was it juggling a major and a minor and playing a college sport at the same time?
You know what, the thing about D3, so that it was, it's a university now, but Mount Union was a college then, D3, and like there they focus a lot on the academics. That's why I really loved it. It was 4,000 kids, you know, but even though we played, like the coaches, everything kind of tailored for you to like put academics first. That makes sense. Like he was like, there was always like after practice, like stuff like regarding our studies and stuff. So they made it easier. And then it teaches you discipline. I'm not sure. I mean, it was having that structure, and that's why I love sports, because like since I was little I played them and they gave me that structure I needed.
I think you just taught me something and you didn't mean to. Did you just say that it was a college at that point and that meant it was D3? Is that really
Well, it's a college. It's transitioned to university recently. I think they're still D3 though. They're still D3.
So if yeah. It's called college, that usually means it's a lower level, and if it's called university, it means it's higher.
I don't know. Lower level. I'm not sure. I think college is more more specialized. They have specialized majors and minors, I believe. Don't quote me.
But I was about to say, you just taught me something new I had no idea about.
I gotta Google it.
So you also interned with the Cleveland Cavaliers and a CHL team, the Youngstown Steelhounds. We'll go into the Steelhounds because I want to ask you a certain question that I was reading about in there. But what all stuff did you do with the Cavaliers? Because that probably would have been around LeBron's early career.
It was. Cavaliers was mostly like I did more of front office stuff and fan interaction and the stuff that nobody wants to do. You know, you had to go bug people and like ask them for surveys or cold calling. And so I did that. But it was part of our sports management group. So, I mean, they're showing you a different side, in-game and entertainment. So it was more on the back, though, not in front of the cameras or anything.
So I just mentioned the Steelhound stuff. I read that you did a lot there.
Yeah.
And that you even dressed up as the mascot.
I was the emergency backup mascot.
And I totally how many times did you have to do that?
Couple, because Nate never showed up. No, I'm just kidding. He did. So he had two jobs. But so when he couldn't make it, I'd be. But it was so funny because he was tall and lanky, and I was short. So like little kids are smart, man. Little kids were like, "That's not Crusher. Who? That's a girl." Because I guess I was shorter than the taller guy. But it was fun. I loved it. I have first special appearances too and stuff like that. So yeah, I was a mascot. I was a dog.
So you said that. You, when you interviewed players there, that it helped you on with your
even this helps me, you know, to be me and to like to talk and everything. But back then it was like my first real introduction to athletes, in the sense of the questions that you're supposed to ask, the excitement, the energy levels, the, you know what I mean. And so it did help me. So it was the beginning of a lot of lessons, but yeah.
So did you have to write your own questions with that, or did they give you certain token questions to ask?
You know what? They had the token, but the more you got more comfortable, the more you start watching, the more you pay attention, the more you know, and then that's how it evolves, you know?
Yes, I mean, I'm sure that had to help, even though I know with your mother being in show business with different things. She probably helped you with butterflies along the way anyway, telling you in different ways to adjust
with it. Till this day, my friend.
But I'm sure that probably had to help as well, didn't it?
Well, completely, because it's totally different, like totally different things, and different crowds, different viewers, so yeah, for sure.
So when after you graduated, you moved back to Miami, correct?
I sure did, yeah.
It's funny, I'm telling you stuff that you forgot about. And you became a production assistant at Univision.
I did. I would grab, like, I was, like, literally transcribing interviews, getting coffee for the anchors, getting their dresses for award shows, umbrella holder because Univision has, they have their own, like, MTV Awards type of thing. Like, they have this thing called the National Food, Primero Nuestro, and I would be the umbrella holder, or I was, like, the handler. Like, yeah, I did all that.
Wow, so you were also working for CBS as like a radio
And after that, I applied because I was like so frustrated. I'm like, because what happens a lot is you graduate and nobody wants to hire you because you don't have the experience.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough that I didn't have to like support a family or myself. So I lived at home and I was able to do the internship, but then I got frustrated and I started applying everywhere. And CBS Sports 1010 in Tampa, which was 4 hours away, had a little opening and a midnight show, the graveyard shift, the midnight to 7 a.m. As a board operator. And I just wanted to be involved in sports. So I was like, you know what? Teach me. Let's go. And
so did you work both of those jobs at the same time?
No, I left the internship and then I moved to Tampa. Oh my gosh. And I remember I found a roommate, thank God, and it was hard because, I mean, I don't know if this had happened to you before, but like, I remember, like, looking at my bank account, I'm like, man, I have, like, what's peanut butter and jelly is, like, will last long. Like, it was to that point. My mom was helping me, but she wasn't, like, here, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember, like, oh, man, like, peanut butter and jelly, that's going to be weak, or, like, or I would mooch off my roommate, like, she had food, and she cooked, I'm like, oh, there you go.
So you got to cover the Bucks, the Lightning, and South Florida, right?
Yeah, South Florida, yeah.
I bet it'd be kind of crazy to cover the Bucks now with Brady and Gronk going there.
I know. That would be fun.
I mean, I guess you still get to cover them.
I got Coach. Oh, my gosh, I just went blank. Raiders head coach. I just went blank right now.
Oh, yeah. John Gruden.
Yeah, I had Gruden, so that was fun at that time, I remember. And, yeah, Lightning was fun, too. I had Barry Melrose for, like, 2 days, and then he left. But
yeah, Florida would have been decent at that time, too, because that would have been
Florida
around.
Was good too. Trestle? No, not Trestle. I'm mixing my coaches. And I'm seeing him.
I can't think of who their coach was because they were in Louisville's conference, so they always played against Louisville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah, so that I mean, I know the year that Louisville went to the Orange Bowl, which was in 2007, mm-hmm. 2007, 2008, they actually went down to South Florida and won. And South Florida was actually in the top 10 at that point.
Yeah,
so
what's his name? Gosh, I see him. I'm sorry I said Trestle. I was thinking of Ohio. Sorry. it'll come to me.
I can't think of his name either. So after doing you were there – I'm sorry, what were your you had mentioned your day-to-day tasks for Univision. Like, so work-wise, I mean, what all stuff did you do outside of, like, entering those interviews and stuff like that?
Where at? Which one?
At Univision.
At Univision, honestly, that's all, like, I really, really did was just really, like, go for work and learning how to, like, I didn't even learn how to edit or anything. I was whatever they needed. And I did a lot of transcribing, like, telling you, like, oh, and then I'd like to get a PA for, they assigned me to different shows. So there was a reality show, like a beauty queen show. So I literally had to go, I was a PA in that. And like, it was like one of the, like, I had to deal with the tent, with the girls and the houses and driving them. I remember driving them from, like, I was just whatever they needed. I worked my butt off in that one for sure. And I'm like, how am I ever going to get on TV? I'm driving beauty wannabe queens, and so so that's why I applied, and then they took the Tampa job.
Yeah, so after you did that in Tampa for what, 2 years, you actually got to be on camera for the first time.
I did it actually. Tampa was 6 months actually. Yeah.
Oh, so I guess it was 2 years after you graduated. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You finally got to get on TV with Univision's KN. What is it? KNVO.
KNVO. KMBO and Fox Rio. So it was a dual station, and they did Spanish and English. So I got so lucky. I did both the 5, the 6. I mean, yeah, it was a lot of shows.
I was reading. So you did a 5 p.m. news show in Spanish.
A 6.
Yes.
No, it's 5 was in English, 6 was Spanish, and I forget because of the hour notes. And then the 11 was the Spanish. 9 was Fox, and then 11 was Spanish.
Yeah, I was reading that. I was like,
hard. They worked us. That was a really good experience because I got to do everything there. I did weather, I did photog, I did sports, and then I became anchor for the Fox one when the Fox anchor left. And then I never anchored in Spanish, but I always reported in Spanish, anchored in English, and yeah, I did weather as well.
How did you handle doing that? I mean, I'm guessing.
Do it. That's the hardest part when you're thrown in things and you're forced to learn and you just do it, man. You do it because you have to and yeah.
Did you ever get on there and start speaking in the wrong language on accident one time?
You know, I've never done that. I've gotten stuck and then I'll just throw Spanish because I'm like, ah, I use my brain needs to think and I just throw something. I still do it to this day.
So I was reading an article about you and
you know what you Google there because I've seen some Google and I'm like,
this was actually a quote from you.
Oh, okay, good.
And if it's wrong, then you can tell me, but you... Okay. I was reading an article and you compared covering the U.S.-Mexico border to a Wild West movie.
Oh, totally.
What can you like expound on that? You mean?
Like I feel so weird talking about this, but by myself and stuff. But I just remember like my first ever story. I got sent to a shooting, and you're there, and like you see the blood, the I mean, you just see everything, the bodies. That was not just one day. That's every day. To the point that when I was fit, there were bodies coming out of the river because it was in the Rio Grande Valley River. We had shootings on a daily basis across the border, which is 7 minutes from where we worked and we lived. I mean, there was, drug busts every day. This is so terrible. You get so desensitized. You're like, all right, well, let's see who dies today. We got a shooting probably coming up. Like, instead, we would joke that instead of, the weather, we would have, what's up? This time, you know what I mean, and it surprised me. I mean, kids in cages, that's been there for a while. It surprised me that I never ever, while I was in college or anything, that never got out. I'm like, every day there's a shooting, every day I have a drug bust, what, like that? And it was crazy, the homicides, the murders, the shootings, the drug chases, the car chases, you know how you see in LA all the car chases?
Oh, yeah.
It was insane. I never seen so much crime, and I got so desensitized when I was there. It was crazy.
It's crazy that it feels like everyone is getting that way now. See, because everyone has a cell phone at their fingertips. It seems like, something like I see some people that just don't see that George Floyd thing and get visually upset. Like, that still visually upsets me.
Oh, that's
yeah. And there's some people that are desensitized, and they're not in media, or they're not reporting.
That's crazy to me.
And it's crazy to me that, everything is getting like that now, it seems like.
I hope it doesn't, but it is.
Yes. So you covered, just like you mentioned, you covered stories on drug trafficking and immigration and on both sides of the – so you did this in Texas and Mexico?
We would cross. I mean, we weren't supposed to technically, but my potog, I hope I don't get in trouble. His reasoning, and I still use it, it's better to say you're sorry than ask for permission at times. So we cross to our store, we record and then come back and – we got in trouble once and suspended, but that was it. But it was really good story. We needed to go, too.
So did you have, certain days for certain duties, or did you just find out when you got the word you were doing that
honestly,
day?
Honestly, you got there. That was it. That was what's crazy. I don't know how their newsrooms work, but I remember I'd be like, all right, I'd get in the morning, 7. They're like, oh, we got a shooting overnight. I mean, a lot of things overnight happen because that's when the trap, when a lot of the crime, I guess not crime, but the drug trafficking and shootings and stuff happened at night. So it was they were ready for the 7 a.m. perfectly. And then, given where it was, there was always something more happening in the afternoon. So we'd have another story for the night. And it was challenging, but a good challenge because I would have to do it in English and Spanish every day.
Yeah. So you did that for a good amount of time, 2-3 years?
2.5 years, yeah.
You think you would ever go back to doing that, or would you stick with sports forever?
You know what? The more... after seeing what's going on in the world, it gives you that itch. I feel bad at times doing sports, you know, like it was really hard after George Floyd and after COVID to do sports when so much is going on that we're talking about, oh, you can't play NCAA or, oh, or the, you know, or if I felt it was hard. I remember talking to my co-anchor, David Lowe. He's like, I don't even feel like doing this. Like, this feels wrong. And it gives you that itch to go back. I mean, it gave me that itch to go back to news. But,
yeah, I took a couple of weeks off on this as well because it's just like there's way more important things going on than me putting a podcast out.
I guess like people need escapes, right? So
yeah. So you think if you got the chance, you would go back into reporting or maybe not reporting, but anger?
If the opportunity was presented itself, I wouldn't say no. I would definitely think about it. Yeah.
So growing up and wanting to do this as a career, was ESPN always kind of a dream for you?
Yeah, completely. I think it's everyone's, right, at some point. Or
yeah, I mean, I grew up watching Stuart Scott, like you just said, RIP, a mentor teacher. Like Stuart Scott, that every year when he passes, that day, I still always get upset. Because, like, I grew up, like, once I realized as a kid that I wasn't going to play sports just because, you know, you realize that at a certain age, I'm not going to play professionally. So I need to figure out what other thing I can do. Mm-hmm. And like seeing Stuart Scott and Rich Eisen together, like that was the duo for me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the video of Rich Eisen, when he found out on NFL Network that Stuart Scott had passed away, like I share that speech every year on my Facebook because like that's one of my heroes. Like that, yeah. I used to watch him on there, and like the way he made things different made it cool as a kid to watch SportsCenter.
Yeah, totally.
So how did, when you got the call from ESPN, or did you reach out to ESPN, or like how did that go?
Well, when you get to a certain level, you get an agent, right? So then they reached out. I auditioned the first time and I bombed it. It was so hard. In the sense, like, you get the, I mean, you try not to get nervous, but you walk on campus and you're seeing everybody that you ever dreamed of. I auditioned in a set where everybody was actually, it's the newsroom where they cut the videos and stuff like that. So everybody, now it doesn't exist, that set anymore, but everybody was there. I was nervous. It's a really interesting process. I remember having like 6 interviews, lunch. I read an English and Spanish segment. And then more interviews afterwards. So it's like you have no time to stop or think or anything. Like it's just, but then when you, yeah. So I didn't do well the first time and I bombed it. And I was like, I'm not, I remember walking out of that car to go to the airport. And I'm like, I'm never coming back here. Never, like no chance. They called back. They said I was very green, that I wasn't ready. And then a year later, I auditioned again. They called again and there was a position open for digital. And I started in digital and I took it. Yeah.
So did they at least give you what things they felt you needed to work on so that you could kind of improve on it?
No, a lot of the things is confidence in owning the room that you're in, realizing that is your desk, no matter who you are, whether you're Adam Schefter or you're Tony Collins, like that's you. So that's your desk to hone and to own. And I didn't. And I was very green with that. And I let a lot of my insecurities obviously affect me.
That is something that I do notice whenever I watch you on SportsCenter is that, like, it's like the camera is not even there a lot of times with you, which is a good thing for me to watch.
Good.
Because it's like, you seem so relaxed and, like, I don't know. It seems like when I watch you on there, it's like we know each other. You know what I mean?
That's good. That for me is the goal. I get a lot. Right now I'm working on a fine line between that and – I tend to laugh a lot. I tend to smile. I tend to like take it like relaxed, but like it's a little bit serious. But I'm trying. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to be you, right? That's it. It sounds like that's the best advice people give me. Like have given me, be yourself. So I'm trying to do that, and I'm trying to like know, like you know, when you have to be serious, you're serious. When you're not, you're not. But at the end of the day, it's like we're friends, right? We're talking sports, and I'm not trying to be perfect because I obviously mess up, and I'm not perfect, but. But you know my intention. You know it's about being authentic. Authentic, you can't lie, man. You can't lie about being authentic.
Yeah, you actually mentioned that in one of your interviews that I was listening to, that when you got to ESPN that you were talking about something that you wanted to do, and the guy that actually got you on said that he wanted you just to be yourself.
Yeah. And I was very, like, you know, you try to, like, be the anchor and stuff like that, and And then, I don't know, like, I mean, you're human. You see other anchors. You want to be like them. But then that's not you, and it sounds so fake, and it just bombs, right? So
yeah.
But listen, I think we're all like, it's someone who's very comfortable in their skin is Elle Duncan. That's why I wish I could be in my own version, you know, like, what you see is what you get. You're going to mess up. You're not, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know my message and you know how authenticity is.
So what actually went into digital media? Like, what did you do when you were in that?
At that time, it was when digital media was like, who cares about digital media? I remember, because I remember when I left, I was in the, not to like sound like conceited, I was in like the top shows in Spanish. Like, I was in Despierta America. I was on Primer Impacto, Notición. I was on the main shows doing sports, and I went to digital, and like digital, and, like, nobody, like, why would you go to the internet? I remember 2012, 2013, and we did videos that were 4 minutes long. So what we do now that are 30 seconds, like, we like have so ESPN at the time, like, they have the four headlines or the five headline stories.
Okay.
We put video to those, whatever was click, because they follow what people click. So like, hey, this one's getting a lot of clicks. Let's get a video with the writer, with somebody related to this. So it was an NFL story, I don't know, and Teddy Bruschi, let's go have him and have his opinion on this. And that was it. And we would do that. We'd just do that. And then we do segments for previews and stuff like that. Whatever you have online now, like the little clips, but they were long. They were like 4 minutes. And then I got a promotion to do updates. So I was doing updates, and now I got promotion for two days for SportsCenter. So
how did that come about? Like, how did you get to where did they just say, hey, you're doing a really good job at doing this? And they just say, hey, let's bring you up.
They're like, you know, you work hard, you deserve this. You, I mean, it could change always, but make the best of the opportunity right now. And this is what's available. So then you take it or you leave it.
Yeah. So like I just mentioned, growing up and watching Stuart Scott and all that, like, was there somebody that maybe that was on ESPN that you grew up and you're like, that's who I kind of want to be like?
You know what? I always enjoyed Linda Cohn. She is so funny. Like, I loved her laugh, and she was just so chill and relaxed. And so I grew up watching Linda Cohn on the desk, and I wanted to be like her in that sense. Like, so knowledgeable and passionate about her sports and her teams. And yeah, Linda Cohn.
So you kind of went over it a little bit, but is there something that every day, because I mentioned like the you make it kind of like we know each other on there, and I appreciate that.
I really appreciate that so much. So thank you. Like, you just made my day. I would scream if it wasn't recorded.
So is that one of the things, or is there something else that you try to bring to SportsCenter or just TV every day?
You know what? I try to put myself in a viewer's shoes and like just be like, oh, she's not like I'm cool, I'm not cool, but like, oh, you know, like you always talk in sports with either there's a girl involved or something. So be that girl, like just chill at home. I picture myself having these conversations or those shows. Like, I try to envision like me being in a frat house, like in a college house or out to eat, and you know, you're talking sports with your dude friends and stuff like that. So I guess the girl next door, I guess it would be like, yeah, just making it more human or like not like a sports radio. And I don't know. I don't know. That's a really good question.
Here's the thing that I get from it. I don't ever feel like you force it. And I think that's something that appreciates it more, because sometimes I feel like that even if it's a female and they're very knowledgeable about sports, sometimes I feel like they try to force it. And I feel like with you, it just flows.
Here's the thing. Like, that's another one I'm trying to like get better at, because like I know we all want to act like we know, but like I don't know, I think my job is not to prove it to you. I guess it, I mean, a bit of a should, right? It should be, but it's not to prove you how much.
Well, no,
I
actually
know.
It shouldn't be, because you got to your position for yeah. How good of an anchor or an analyst that you are. Like, to me, like, that's proof enough. Like, and that's why I appreciate so much that the way you do things is, this is just me, and take it that way. And I appreciate that myself. And
I appreciate that because it's just like my job is to facilitate the analyst or whoever I'm interviewing so they can give the best information out there, right? That's what I think. Like, but then, but I know like there was, I know they're gonna be like, oh, you're pretty. I mean, I'll take the mean tweets that tell me I'm pretty and then I'm only there because I'm, I'll take it. I'm gonna see it, but good job, guy. But yeah, that's my, I guess I see it like, I just want to facilitate whoever I'm interviewing to give me the best answer possible for what we're trying to get, you know? We gotta, at the end of the day, is to make the viewer smarter, not just talk crap, basically. basically.
Exactly, exactly. So looking through your social media, something I notice is not only your love for philanthropy, but your love, something that I know is just your love for people in general. We were talking before we started on here that I saw the picture that you shared of Breonna Taylor and all the stuff going on with that. I can send it to you after we get off here. I had a good friend of mine that was on last week that actually had one of his pictures that he took at the protest in Time Magazine. Yeah. One of my great friends, and he's getting a lot of good things from that. So what are some of the favorite charities or organizations that maybe you don't have to, like, you donate time or maybe that you
I love a couple, but I'll be really quick. Like,
don't tell all of them. I would love to hear all of them that you like.
I've been working with our local police, and this Officer Barrett's amazing. He helps the homeless. So I literally go, and like, we had a guy OD the other day, and insane what this man does. Brought him back to life, like literally brought him back to life. And it's getting to know the community, like even the, like that, I know, like, I'm giving by my time, and like, you know, you'll buy socks, book bags, but like, they have changed me. They are the most kind humans, and you know, as life happens, sometimes it doesn't go your way, and they took a different path and stuff, but they're human. So actually, it's not a charity, but just going out with the Hartford Police and getting to know my community and giving my time has been the most rewarding thing. Another one I love is Running for Rescues, which is nonprofit. This woman, Jody, she on her own has been funding like all types of animals that come that need help all over the world. It's not just Connecticut. And she does it she gave up her job, and like, she does it from marathons and stuff like that. But like, if you buy from her thing, like, it'll go. But I mean, I'm telling you, from ducks to raccoons to dogs to cats to horses to anything, and anyone who is in need of money, they go to her, and she'll approve it. And then like, but like, she's amazing. It's a woman and her husband. I try to help them a lot.
Is that what you shared with the Boston Marathon?
No, and then the Boston Marathon is Teddy's team. So Teddy Bruschi of the Patriots. Former Patriot, he suffered strokes, as you know, and he has his foundation, and they help so many people that have suffered strokes that have been, and to have the most normal life they can have afterwards, and they give back to the hospitals, local hospitals. So that's what I did. And then my last one that I love is Striking Out Poverty, which is they help the poorest communities in the Dominican Republic and across the world, and that's the one that like that one got me started off. That one, like, because I'm a huge Roberto Clemente fan, and he has a quote that says that if you're on this earth and you're not doing something to make it better, then you are wasting your time on it. And I don't like that.
You just blew my mind, because I actually, one of my favorite videos ever is a Will Smith video, and it's called Your Words Have Physical Power. And the favorite quote that I always try to live by is, if you're not doing something good for someone else, you're wasting your time, which is almost exactly what you just said.
Yeah, if you are on this earth, what was it? Hold on. I'm gonna. Where's my phone here? It's on the background. It's my background, and I haven't changed it since. Anytime you have the opportunity to make a difference in this world, then you're not. Then you're wasting your time on earth.
That's fantastic.
So yes.
So we got a couple more questions. One of them I didn't put on here, but I have to ask, because something that I notice is, especially with female anchors. You know, it doesn't seem like you guys ever wear the same thing. How hard is that to, one, figure out what you're going to wear, and two, do you ever wear the same thing on there?
All the time. I'm like, I'm so bad with, there's girls that are so good here with, like, their fashion and stuff like that. I'm terrible. My mom's cool. I borrow my mom's clothes. Like, I have her send her hand-me-down. or we do rent the runway, which... They better give me. No, rent the runway. So you rent these dresses out, because you every day on TV, man, and I do repeat. I don't care. I mean, everybody repeats in life, right?
So, yeah.
If that's where you're gonna judge me, not you. Like, they're gonna judge me. Then let that be. I'll take it.
So,
but I suck at it. I wish I was better.
Well, there you go. You want something to get better at. That's what you can improve at.
Yeah.
So if you could give a person like myself any advice that is trying to get into doing something that you're doing, what is the biggest piece of advice you would give them?
Man, I already said this. It all comes with being authentic. You know, being authentic is going to take you places, and being you and Honestly, selling, this sounds weird. See, I'm not selling yourself, but selling yourself to the point where, like, you know, not like, I may be good, but, you know, like, no, I'm good. Like, oh, you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but giving yourself the value that you deserve, even though maybe you're not where you see yourself already, you're not, but, like, selling, because if you don't believe in yourself, then who the heck is going to believe in you? So as long as you're authentic and you truly, like, when you're out there in interviews, when you talk to people, you know what, I belong here, like, yeah, I work my butt off, like, and I can do this and have a plan too. I always think, like, when people ask me why, like, a lot of whys, and when we bring up story ideas, so why would I care, why am I interested, da, 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 da. Like, I try to think of all the possible questions, and and obviously always have a plan, like a structure, but definitely be yourself. Authenticity is huge, is huge. And people, like you said, people care about being human. Like, that's who, it's simple like that.
It's crazy that someone in your profession says the same thing. That so I'm always a person that reaches out to my friends that listen to my podcast and say, tear me down. Like, please tell me what I'm doing wrong, because you telling me all the good things is never really going to help me.
That's true. Like today, like, they're like, Tony, you butchered this. Cause I got, they're talking in your ear, and it tripped me up in this bump, and I messed it up, and immediately they're like, just slow down in your brain and stuff like that. I don't take compliments, so it's a weird, it's funny thing, like, I don't take compliments. Like, I always like, after the show, I went and watched the show already. I'm like, man, I could have done this better, da, 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 da. And it's really hard for me to take a compliment, so it's like always having that drive to get better, man. And like, you have it. So
yeah, I actually had a friend that told me, or he actually didn't tell me because he was afraid to tell me, but my other friend told me what he said, and he just said that he felt like I was being too serious all the time, and to not lighten up, but relax more and let my humor come through. And I was like, man, that's stuff that I need to hear. You know what I mean? Like, I'm up here looking all tight and stuff, and you're not telling me. So
yeah, that's the best, but that's how you get, like, people to be more comfortable with you. And then it snowballs. But you're a good listener. Like, I know you don't want feedback now, but I'm like, you're a good listener. You do your research. Like, that's awesome. Like, you know your subject, and I'm not a creepy way. See, so that's what happens to me in my English. Like, I'm like, am I saying this? Like, no, it's not literal. Yeah, like, that's what it's all about. And it's those things and making that a part of your life and a consistency.
So last question before we do the rapid fire questions.
Oh.
Yeah, the rapid-fire questions are at least fun ones, though.
Okay.
So, I read that your mom has written 7 books, and that she is even a bestseller.
Yes.
Is that a goal of yours? Are you, like, do you is that a goal of yours to write a book? Are you in process?
My mom's an open book, literally. All her problems are out there. You don't have to, like, like, oh, people cannot blackmail us. She writes them all. I mean, you know, if you saw it, I don't know if the titles are in English from all her books, but it's all about us, her family, and her life. So, I mean, yeah. So, I'm more of a private person, and I think it's because I grew up in that. You know, I enjoy writing. I don't know. My goal is to just get better at everything. That I don't want to take for granted being here. I get emotional. I don't get take it granted. So I just want to. I want to get better, and I know you're supposed to make yourself proud, right? Of everything you do, but, like, I tend to want to make her proud. Tend to make my bosses proud, people that believe in me. So I'm just trying to get better. See, and I get emotional. So.
Well, no, I mean, I get it. Like, I feel like with a lot of this stuff, it's crazy because, like, we're on the same level with a lot of stuff. Like, the main thing with this is, like, I love talking to my dad about it and just saying, like, hey, like, this is, like, look, it's crazy. Like, I grew up, I'm a huge Louisville fan. Like, that's that flag behind me.
And I,
like,
heard. I see.
And, like, I grew up watching some of the people that I've now interviewed. And, like, doing some of those things, like, it blows my mind. And, like, I'm proud to tell my dad, it's like, look, I'm doing this stuff. Like, this is stuff that you got on me for doing when I was a kid, just watching sports. Like,
that's what it's all about, right? Like, for me right now, it's like, oh, man, I'm a Hispanic. And I don't see it. I'm like, I see it, but I don't see, like, in the sense of, like, they're like, you represent us and this and that. And, like, I'm like, man, I am on the English side. I am a Hispanic. Oh, my God. Like, it fuels me, and it makes me very, very proud.
All right. So it's time to get to the rapid fire questions. Okay. These are lighter. So you can loosen up some, but all right. So, you know, you understand rapid fire? You know, I ask you the question, you just throw the first thing up. Okay. All right, favorite meal your mom made for you as a kid?
You're not going to know it, though.
Well, then, I guess just explain it. Explain what it is, then.
It's called salpicón. Salpicón is basically lettuce, shredded beef, and, like, it's like a taco, but open. But it's salpicón. It's really good. So,
there you go. All right, you got to pick one, pizza or tacos?
Why would you do that?
I'm bringing the hard questions, the tough questions today.
Tacos, street tacos.
Street tacos, very specific. All right, wings or burgers?
Burgers.
All right, French fries or tater tots?
French fries. Tater tots more of a North American.
No, kind
of.
Don't put that on me because I hate tater tots. Don't put that on me. I do not like tater tots.
North American, I didn't say.
Yeah, I do not like tater tots. All right, favorite movie.
Oh, I love it. Don't judge me, Tommy Boy.
Why would I judge you? I love that, especially you being in, you going to college in,
like,
yeah, in Ohio.
Welcome. I don't know, I was supposed to say that, something.
No, smart. Tommy Boy, that's in Sandusky. That's not far from where you went to school.
Sandusky, yeah.
I actually went to Sandusky and went up to the theme park up there.
Oh, yeah, Cedar Point.
Yeah, Cedar Point's like 6 hours from where I live.
Oh, cool.
All right, so favorite TV show currently and all time?
I don't watch TV, but okay, I do love Friends. And right now, I'm so old. I'm old. I just caught on New Girl. I know this is old, but I love New Girl.
Someone told me about that show last year, and I started watching it, and I didn't.
So corny.
I didn't finish it, but it's good.
I love it. I love it.
It is good.
Oh, but I do. But like, do you mean like reality shows? Because if it's a reality,
it can be anything.
I love anything. My favorite. The Daddy Luke Bryans and so American Idol.
Like my favorite show ever is Chappelle's Show. I love Chappelle's Show.
That was good, yeah.
I mean, that's not really your typical TV show.
I just stuck my face in the camera too because I was looking at you.
It's all good. All good. More authentic. There you go. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate. Cookie dough.
All right. Biggest fear?
Failure.
That's a good one. All right, here's a good one. A hidden talent that most people don't know you have.
I can bend my toes really weird. I don't know. So, you know, you have five toes. I can bend, I don't want to give you a finger, but I can bend two, and, like, the rest I can keep straight.
Yeah, that is a weird hidden talent.
Try it.
I got shoes on. I'm going to keep that.
I'm not going to do it on this because there's some creepers out there that, like, want feet stuff, so it's gross.
Yeah, that is weird. All right, favorite music album currently and all time.
Oh, why do you do this to me? I'm the biggest dork, so I'm a huge Hanson fan. So Hanson all time for me.
Oh wow!
I know nobody knows that. It's like boom bop ba da ba da ba do bop, and I hate you. I never talk about this because it's like boom bop.
Do you still listen to that album now?
I still have it. But now, gosh, I'm trying to think. Oh, let me see what I have. No, it's even worse what I just downloaded. So, no, it's Britney Spears, her first album. I'm going back in time.
So there's not anything current that you listen to?
I have to. I love a lot of Spanish music, so a lot of Spanish. But
all right, so your favorite cereal?
Oh, I'm lying. I just figured it out. Luke Bryan. Oh, sorry.
No, there you go.
Yeah, Luke Bryan, whatever he does is amazing. I love that man. But what was it, cereal? Lucky Charms.
Really? Lucky Charms? Maybe if it was all marshmallows. I can't stand the cardboard part of it.
I mean, I take my time, so I play and I divide.
See, I'm Reese's Puffs myself. I love Reese's Puffs.
That's a good one.
And Crunch Berries. Mm. All right, so favorite basketball, football, and baseball players? Because I already know who your favorite athlete is, but I'm still asking that next. Because you don't pull any punches at saying who that is.
Oh, punches? Did you say? Because Nolan Ryan or no?
I guess I wasn't saying
committed the biggest sin. I know what you're talking about, Messi. I thought because I do love Nolan Ryan. So then
yeah, your dog's named after him, right?
Yeah. What was it for? Oh, my favorite basketball team, the Mavericks.
What about basketball player?
Oh, Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk, I love Dirk. Favorite football player? Ever.
Career football player. NFL, right? Now you're talking the real stuff. Career football. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know what? I loved being in Miami. You grew up in, like, watching Dan Marino, and that was the guy, and that was everything, and, like, Dan Marino for sure.
One of your coworkers is my favorite player ever, and I promise to God I would fangirl if I ever got to meet him.
Who?
Randy Moss.
Oh, I know. You know what? I've run across from him, but I've never met him. But he's very kind, very, very kind. Like, oh, hello, how are you doing? And I just, like, committed blasphemy, too. Troy Polamalu, second favorite, by the way.
Favorite baseball player ever?
Nolan Ryan. But, no, I have two. I can't have one. Clemente. Clemente and Nolan Ryan.
I was about to say, I saw you say Roberto Clemente in a different interview one time.
Yeah, Roberto Clemente. But I do like, I just loved how feisty. You know what? I fell in love with Nolan Ryan afterwards even more because when I covered the Rangers, he was the kindest human you will ever meet. I'm like, it's Nolan Ryan. And he was so nice.
So he never tried to put you in a headlock and punch you or anything?
No, but I would have let him. I'd have been like, I'm Robin.
So, all right. I'll let you have the stage here. Who's your favorite athlete ever?
Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi.
It was funny because you talked about it and you said it's mostly not even because of the stuff that's on the field. You said you follow everything.
Oh yeah, like I just love everything about him. Like I think you know what, I have a lot of connection with the team just because that's what my dad and I used to watch. So like I'm a Barcelona fan because of that, not because of Messi, because of that. And then we got the best player in the world on our team, which now I'm having anxiety because it's like he's getting older. They're all getting older, and it's going to change. The guard's going to change. But so I'm enjoying the last year.
I'm a LeBron fan, so I get where you're coming from.
Like it's going to come to an end, right? Like,
yeah. All right. So this is the last question that I have for you.
Okay.
One athlete that the first time you met them, you were starstruck.
Did they have to talk back to me or no?
Let's do both then. Let's do the one that talked back to you and one that didn't.
Messi, I met him at the Clásico in Miami a couple years back. All I wanted to do was breathe the same air. I couldn't believe that he was standing like 6 feet away, and I was just like, I didn't even scream. I didn't do anything. I was just standing there like.
I'm disappointed that you didn't scream.
Didn't scream, didn't cry, didn't faint, so that was good. And athlete that I interviewed, or what was the question again?
It could be if you interviewed him, you just spoke to him, that you were starstruck the first time you met him.
You know what? I hate to be so boring, but Dirk Nowitzki, the first time I ever met him, because like then when I moved to Dallas, and like nicest human you will meet, nicest human. Like it was like the very Jeter-esque kind of thing, like makes time for you to talk to you, blah 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 blah, gets to know it, and then you know what I mean, but like never rude, never like, oh gosh, you know, like Tony Romo only speaks on twos or whatever, dude. Like nah, he was like very easy or like very,
so
very...
Tony Romo's not,
he had an assigned day, so he would only speak to the media on that assigned day. So
I guess it's different when you make it there, but like yeah. I guess it's kind of not because you just took time out to be on a podcast with me, but like I don't know, I feel like if I ever made it to that point, something that I've always said was like I wouldn't ever like big time anyone, like it just seems like I know
there's a bunch of people that ask me to do these, and I got like a lot of, sometimes I will look at my Instagram messages and like you try to please everybody, but it's so hard sometimes, like just with time and everything, but yeah. Hopefully.
Oh, trust me. When you wrote me back, I'll go ahead and embarrass myself on here. Cause,
I already told you, love Hanson, please.
So I was playing Xbox with my brother and my buddy, and just sitting there playing Call of Duty, and all of a sudden my phone goes off, and I look, and you wrote me back, and you said, sure, count me in. And I said, oh, my God. And they were like, what? And I was like, I just said, oh, my God, like three times. And I was like,
funny. Oh, my God.
I was like, I just got the huge interview, and they were like, who is it? I was like, well, neither one of you all watch SportsCenter, so it's probably not really helping my case at all. But, yeah, this was huge.
Thank you for asking, and thank you for being so kind and, like, making me feel important and stuff. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for doing the same. Like, I showed the messages that you sent back because I was appreciative of how nice
it was. I was probably in a rush. Like, sometimes I don't – was I rude? I
mean, no, that was – it was the exact opposite, which is why I showed people. Okay. So I was like – you were like, sure, count me in and put a smiley face. And I was like, you didn't have to put a smiley face on there. I didn't expect that.
I like to smile a lot. I tend to do that.
But, Tony, I appreciate it so much. Like, I can't lie. I've been a nervous wreck since you said you would come on? Because it's like, this could be.
Well, I just think it should count me in. Oh my God, you actually answered.
Yeah, see, that's what. Yeah, now it's now you made fun of me on here, so now everyone's gonna know that I said that. So thanks. So okay. Now everyone knows you like Hanson, and everyone knows that I fangirled out when you answered back. So thanks.
I like Hanson. I love Hanson. I wanted to marry one of them, but we'll talk about that another day. Thank you for having me, honestly. Congratulations on all you're doing as well. Keep doing it. I know I've been in your shoes and it gets discouraging at times. You're like, how? But I'm telling you, like, keep doing what you're doing. Like, someone will notice. Keep pushing. Keep believing in yourself the most, and you will be here. You will be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And again, I appreciate you taking time out. And I do have one thing, though. So you don't have to give me your address, but I want to give you one of my shirts on my podcast.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can give me after, and now that way I want to mail you one of my shirts as a thank you for coming on my podcast.
That's so sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So again, thank you for taking time out, and I appreciate it so much.
Anytime.
Have a good day.